Hi, I'm Kim Cotola. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Cradle My Heart Radio. There are many more podcasts available online at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts. And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
One of the visions that we had for this program was making abortion unnecessary. And one of the ways that we do it is to share stories. How did you make the choice that you came to? And was it a choice that you have come to regret? Or was it a choice that enhanced your life and the life of everyone around you? And we've got a really encouraging story for you this time out with our guest, Sheridan Mate. And she chose life. Sheridan, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Sheridan is with Future Female Leaders of America, and that is a group that gives voice to conservative young women. Tell me a little bit more about that before we get to your story. Tell me about Future Female Leaders of America.
Yeah, absolutely. So FFL is so awesome. I have actually been following it. It started out as just a Twitter account. They would tweet different conservative ideas, different things that I really found myself relating to throughout high school. And it was awesome because I was able to see it grow into this amazing brand and now website with a blog and merchandise and things like that. So I'm blessed to say that I've been with it since the beginning, but I actually, my senior year, they opened up the applications for contributors, which is the people who actually write the content on the website. And right after finding out I was pregnant, I kind of was looking for a way to voice my opinions on things and kind of take a little bit of control back in my life. And I was able to apply and found out that I was accepted. And through that, I've just been able to meet so many different girls who share our views, who are conservative, Republican young women, when it's not the easiest to, in this day and age, be a woman in Republican politics. So it's a great way for young women to be able to voice their opinion and find different girls their age that relate to them and share their views when it comes to politics and things like that.
Sure, sure. So you mentioned, okay, you're pregnant. So
yes.
That was a surprise.
Yeah.
So tell us that story.
Yeah, so he is actually, my son is now a year old. I wrote an article for FFL that was published over a year ago while I was still pregnant. But basically, I found out I was pregnant in February of my senior year. So at that point, I had already had everything figured out as far as college and things like that. And then I found out that I was going to be having a baby later on in the year. And with the awesome support of not only my family and friends, but also the father, his family, we were able to kind of work together to bring him into the world. And he is just so awesome. He is the best thing in my life right now. He is a handful for sure, but he is so much fun. It was definitely a scary time in my life. I had no idea what to do. I had no idea what everybody was going to think. It wasn't something that I really ever thought was in the cards for myself. But I was able to definitely find a way to reach different people and kind of talk to girls my age that have been through the same situation, or people I went to school with that might have thought they were going to be in the same situation. I kind of found this new little place for myself where I could talk with other women and other young girls and just really people who found out they were going to have a child young. And I feel like I've been able to not only gain some confidence in myself, but also be able to see that, yeah, the situation, it might not have been ideal, but it's definitely the best thing. Like I said, my son's now a year old. He turned a year old in October, and he's so awesome. I couldn't imagine anything without him. I couldn't imagine life without him. He's just the best.
Mm. So Sheridan Mate is our guest, and she is with Future Female Leaders of America. And I love the tagline on your bio, Sheridan, that says, you chose life and chased your dreams in the face of a world telling you you couldn't do both.
Right.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. I mean, was there a direct opposition? You said you got a lot of support, and I know a decision like yours doesn't happen without support, whether it's your
right.
parents, friends, school, you know, all of the above. Was there opposition, or was it mostly attitude and fear and stereotypes that you think you had to stare down?
A lot of it, as far as my family and my close friends go, there wasn't any opposition as far as what I wanted to do. My parents have always raised me. I mean, I was raised in a Christian home. I was raised very conservative, and his parents, my son's father, his parents were as well. So that never really was an option as far as we were concerned. I do remember one situation where it was actually a friend of ours was talking to me about it and was like, oh, well, have you ever considered like terminating? Like, what do you think about that? Has that ever been an option for you? And in that time, I took it to heart. I was very offended by it just because that's never been something that has crossed my mind. But also it kind of was a reality check for me that is what people consider when they find out things like this, when they do find out that they're going to be a young mom. And that kind of shook me. That's really what kind of pushed me into wanting to be able to talk to different women that go through this and let them know that they don't have to choose between wanting to do what they want in life and then wanting to have their child. So as far as my close circle, there was never any question what I was going to end up doing, but it definitely is a lot harder talking with people and then the stereotype of, oh, you're a teen mom, oh, you had a child young, that kind of thing. So definitely facing that stereotype has been hard, but I've been able to do so much more than I ever thought I'd be able to while having Xander. Xander's my son's name. While having him, I've been able to do so much more with my life than I thought I would be able to without having him. So it's definitely... it's been hard, but it's been so rewarding. It's been so great being able to share my story and talk with other people who end up going through the same thing.
You know, and as I think about this, everything changed, right? You're in your senior year, you've got your plan. Suddenly everything changed. How did you manage that? How did you navigate that?
In the first few weeks of finding out, I was scared. I was terrified. I had everything planned out. I've always been that person who has had their life plan. I'm going to take this class and get this grade, and I'm going to graduate, and I'm going to go to this school and do this. That was always me. And then finding out that wasn't going to be the case anymore, that was very scary for me. But luckily, like I said, my family has been so awesome and so supportive that I've been really able to kind of take a step back and realize that, yeah, that was my plan. That's still the ultimate plan. But right now, the timing of it just has to change a little bit. That's one of the things my dad said at the very beginning that's always stuck with me, is just that, yeah, this doesn't change your plan. This just changes the timing of it a little bit. And that's kind of what I've stuck with as far as wanting to go to school and things like that, and wanting to work. I haven't really let it hold me back by any means at all. I've been blessed to work with some awesome women who, not only through SFL, but in my career right now, I've been able to work with some awesome women who not only understand that it's going to be a little bit harder for me to kind of move ahead as far as like in my career, it takes a little bit longer. They understand that, but they also support me and make it as easy as possible for me to get done what I need to get done and things like that. So I definitely wouldn't have been able to do anything like that without the support of everyone around me.
So, and you had a scholarship, right?
I did. I was set to attend the University of Central Missouri with a scholarship for academics. And then I was also a member of the Honors College. And with that, I've actually, since that article has been published, I've actually chosen not to attend UCM. I've gone a little bit of a different route, but as far as talking with the different scholarship committees and one of our recruiters that I was able to work with for a while, we had it set where I'd still be able to keep everything. I'd be able to do most of my stuff online, but it just ended up not working, which isn't anything. It just wasn't ideal for us anymore, but I still, without the help of that person and them letting me know that, listen, well, just because our program doesn't work for you, it doesn't mean that there's not another program out there that is going to work for you. And they've actually been awesome in helping me, like sending me information about different programs a little bit closer to home, because the campus I was looking at was probably about 4 or 5 hours away from my hometown. So they were able to set me up, give me some contacts for different universities more local. And that's been awesome. They've been such a great help.
Well, and I just the fact that, you know, they were willing to allow you to carry through and keep your scholarship,
right.
Again, I think there's a lot of stereotypes out there, and maybe things were that way even 5, 10
mm-hmm.
years ago, but pregnancy is not the end of, it's not a life sentence.
I mean, absolutely.
Sherrod and I got pregnant at 23, and I was already launched. I had my plans. I had just started in my radio career in a major market, you know, and reached the goal that I'd been working toward for a lot of years when I got pregnant. And, you know, sadly, out of ignorance and lack of support, I made the wrong decision and mm-hmm. took the life of my child. But so much has changed since then. And I know there mm-hmm. are still, I mean, we've talked with people from Feminists for Life and other organizations that are working to make campuses friendlier places for pregnant students, you
mm-hmm.
know, and I just want to give you the opportunity to say, you know, that this is something that is, it's a reality right now. The idea that simply because you're pregnant, your life grinds to a halt and there go your dreams, it's just not true. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be that way at all.
Right, right. Yeah, it's just definitely going through this myself, I've realized that as far as the pro-choice versus pro-life argument, that looking at that pro-choice, it's not telling you, you have to choose. It's not only just telling you have to choose the life of your child. It's telling you have to choose between your child and between your dreams. And with that, that's kind of something that hit home for me. That I have a son. Yes, I was pregnant at a young age. I mean, I got pregnant when I was 17. I had Xander when I was 18. Yes, that happened, but that doesn't mean I have to choose a life of not going after my dreams. That doesn't mean I have to choose between him and choose between going for what I want in life. I've definitely been able to do both, maybe a little bit differently than I thought I was going to at first, but I haven't had to make that decision just because you don't have to. That's not the reality anymore.
You know, I love the fact, Sheridan, as you're sharing your story, that you're doing quite a bit of educating in terms of fetal development and what pregnancy really is, because again, I made my decision based in ignorance. It's incredible to me that they're still telling girls and women it's not a baby, it's just tissue, but that's the line
mm-hmm.
that I fell for. You know, but nobody who hears your story is going to walk away believing that, are they?
Right.
I mean, you have really made it your mission to help people understand the truth about life before birth. Share a little bit about
right.
that, if you will.
Yeah, so through the Future Female Leaders of America, the article I was able to write about my son and kind of my journey as far as choosing life for him, I was able to, I added pictures through it of his actual ultrasounds from different visits, and just being able to show not just the textbook or the, I don't know, the like WebMD versions of a baby developing, it was actual pictures of an actual child, and he just happened to be mine. So I was able to kind of share my story as far as, so this is a picture of him at 5 weeks development. And looking back at my situation and looking back at myself in that room in the doctor's office while they were doing the ultrasound, remembering all those emotions and hearing the heartbeat and watching him move and things like that, I was definitely able to get an inside look that not a lot of people get to, just in going through it myself, actually seeing my son developed through the months of having him and seeing him grow before having him is definitely solidified my opinion in the fact that life begins at conception. It absolutely does. He he had the mind of his own the whole time. It just being able to show my side and the more personal side versus the more medical side of it, I think that really helps. It helps it be a little bit more relatable, and it helps women and girls that might be going through it themselves. It helps them see that it's not just what's in a textbook. It's real life. This is what people actually go through. This is what actually happens. So in being able to share the more personal side of it, I feel like it touches people a little bit differently than just reading the facts about the development of a child while the mom is still pregnant.
Sure, this is a person. This is a life, not just a picture.
Right.
Sheridan Mate is our guest, and she's with Future Female Leaders of America. And we've got her story linked at cradlemyheart.org on the blog this week. And, you know, Sheridan, as we're talking about this and being a mom at a young age, tell me about your peers, because as a conservative, you know, it can be kind of isolating, given the current political climate, for people of all ages. But I think that to be young and conservative is to be, you know, it's got to be a challenging place to occupy it, particularly because the predominant view seems to be this default feminist worldview that says reproductive rights are what women need, that this is a woman's choice and bodily autonomy and all of the talking points and rhetoric that your story so beautifully refutes. But tell me about relating to your peers around this decision and around the education that you're able to do. I mean, are they receptive to it?
I think so. I think it's a lot easier coming from somebody that is it's a lot easier coming from somebody that is your age versus a doctor or seeing people on the TV. It's a lot easier coming from somebody who has been there. That's why I know whenever I was pregnant and finding out I was pregnant, I almost wished I had somebody to talk to that was my age, that was going through the same thing. And now not everybody gets that opportunity. I was blessed enough that somebody really close to my life that I've worked with for now going on 3 years, she had her daughter when she was 16, and being able to talk to her about what she went through and how it's so different now, I just wanted to be that person for people around me. I've had so many people since my original article about my journey went live. I've had so many people reach out to me through Twitter and through Facebook asking me if I could give them any advice that they just found out they were pregnant. They just found out their girlfriend was pregnant. What advice can I give them? And really, it's made me look at my story differently. It's made me definitely see that so many girls my age see this as such an awful thing and such a terrifying thing, when really it can be such a great platform to not only share the message that life begins at conception, but it also can share the message that just because the media tells you that you can't do things just because you have a child at a young age, being able to show people that, no, that's not the case. I had my son at age 18, but here I am. I'm able to do this. So I think it's a lot easier for my peers and people my age to hear it from somebody who's been through it versus hearing it from somebody who either went through it years in the past or hearing it from somebody who never experienced going through it so young. So I think being able to be that person for other people my age has definitely been a humbling experience, but it's been so great. It's been so rewarding just being able to talk with these other girls and other people my age who have gone through this, because I really feel like my story can show people that it doesn't have to be like what the media says, what everybody else in the world says. It doesn't have to be that way. You can do it. It doesn't have to be as scary and as terrifying as it might seem.
You said you got some great wisdom from your dad, that your plans don't have to change, but the timing will change.
Right.
Great wisdom that indicates that you have his full support. If somebody is feeling alone, though, in this circumstance, if they don't have the social support of parents, or what is the most important thing? I mean, where would you direct someone for support to be able to choose life, to do the right thing, and to make a loving decision with an unplanned pregnancy?
Now, with that, that's why I'm so glad to have such a great platform as far as FFL. We reach so many different people, and being able to have, not only my story out there, but other girls' stories out there. It's definitely a great place to be able to live in the age that we do today, where you have social media and things like that, where you can become instantly connected to somebody who lives halfway across the world from you. And now when not everybody is comfortable going that route, I would definitely say if you're one of the great things that happened with me was really being able to, I kind of reconnected with my faith through all of this and going to church, really praying on it. That helped me so much. And just knowing that I'm scared now, but there's a plan, it'll be okay. But as far as if there's not that support at home and from the family, that can be difficult, but definitely finding somebody, a mentor at school, a dear friend of yours, something like that, somebody who is just going to be there with you, talk you up, let you know that you're not alone in this, be able to help you find resources, whether it be via the internet or things like that. Just having somebody to kind of hold your hand through it, it can really help. And now it doesn't necessarily have to be a supportive family member. I've seen girls my age go through it where their parents aren't supportive or his parents aren't supportive or things like that. But just having somebody there with you, whether it be a friend or a distant relative or a mentor or something like that, finding really anybody that could listen. Mm-hmm. I found a great mentor and actually one of my school guidance counselors. She was able to kind of sit down with me and be like, okay, this happened. This is the next step as far as school goes. This is who you need to contact. Finding people like that were really just looking out for my best interest and wanting me to succeed, that has just been so great for me.
Sure. And I've got to mention, of course, the Pregnancy Help Movement and Heartbeat International and CareNet. We've got those linked at our website at cradlemyheart.org. And they also have, there's a 24/7 hotline or helpline at 1-800-712-HELP, H-E-L-P, to connect you with a pregnancy center near you. Because you're right, Sheridan, there may not be an individual in your life right now to pick up the baton and help you run that next leg of the race, but there are people who care. And the Pregnancy mm-hmm. Help Movement, I need to mention, all their services are free. It's usually out of the generosity of God's people that they're able to do what they do. So please at least check that before you decide that you don't have the support that you need to carry it through. Sheridan Maid is our guest, and she is a mom to Xander, and she's also a member of Future Female Leaders of America. And Sheridan, you've got some pretty big dreams. Now, you said you had a scholarship, which you're taking a little bit different path right now because of motherhood. Mm-hmm. What is it that you hoped? Where do you hope to be in 5-10 years?
I actually, through all of this, have found, before I found out I was pregnant, I've worked at a hair salon. I've worked the desk and worked business operations basically for them. So through them, they've been so understanding and so supportive of my situation. I've actually been able to step up a little bit more with them, which has been great as far as working with them. And now I've put my hand in a little bit of everything, just trying to figure out what I want to do. Because, again, I'm 19. I'm still figuring it out. But the great thing is knowing that no matter what I decide to do, no matter if it's staying with the company I'm with now or doing a little bit more, doing something different, I know that I'm going to be able to figure it out because I do have that support, and I do have now a very good reason to figure things out and a very good reason to kind of get everything together just for my son and so that I can make his life the best it can be. So as far as 5 years from now, I'm really not sure, but I know that no matter what, it's going to be great, and it's going to be for Xander.
Mm. So I see, I don't know, business women, some sort of organizational brilliance in the future, because to be able to take things where you have so far is really a testament to your grit and to your character. And so,
Thank you.
Oh, I think it's awesome, Sheridan. As we think about here, we've got just about a couple of minutes remaining. What would you say to one of your peers who is considering abortion? There are women who are listening, I'm sure, or maybe even a young man whose sweetheart is listening, parents, grandparents who are listening, and they think that abortion has got to be the answer because of fears for the future. of a young woman in their life. What would you say directly to them?
So many people around me, so many people in my community either decided to have their child young and were able to raise them and are still doing great, or knowing that they still decided to have the child, but the child is doing so great. My good friend, she's awesome. She's one of the best people I know. And just knowing that there are so many other options out there and so many people willing to support you and help you through it. You might not see it right now. I know it can be so scary, but I just encourage people to research and research as much as they possibly can about other options, because I know that's what I did, and I couldn't be more thankful for what I decided to do and the people that helped me through it, because, like I said, Xander is the best thing in my whole life.
Well, I urge everyone listening to go to cradlemyheart.org and see his beautiful face and Mama's too. Sheridan, thank you so much for sharing the story with us here on Cradle My Heart Radio.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Stay with us now. Coming up on Faith Radio, we'll open up the phone lines for your calls, and maybe you'll want to share your story tonight. 1-800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for making Cradle My Heart your choice for your live listening tonight. We are pleased to be here live on this 2 weeks now in front of Christmas on this Advent Sunday. And it's just a joy to be with you. And I'm really, really pleased that that you carve out some time for this program, because we've been building it since 2012. And I'm very excited that we just completed a campaign to expand our syndication to more radio stations with a new short feature called Cradle My Heart Today. And we are fully funded. Our campaign ended on December 8th, and we are fully funded. And so for the next year, our goal is to triple our impact. And we'll be saying more about that in the weeks to come. But I just want to thank you if you are a listener who decided to give. We really appreciate that. You can do that through cradlemyheart.org. You'll find a safe way to give securely online, or our mailing address if you want to send us a check. I would really just be blessed by that. And we are so blessed by all those who helped with our campaign. You know, there's a verse that I wanted to talk about tonight, because God so impressed upon me the value of kindness this week. And the verse is from Psalm 141. Be kind and compassionate to one another. There are many verses you and I could probably pull out about kindness in God's Word. But God has been showing me how winsome kindness really, really can be. And, you know, there was a reading in our Daily Bread. I read a lot of devotionals on any given week, and I spend time trying to read the Word on my own too, not just filtered through someone else's devotional thoughts. But devotionals are helpful, and they're inspiring. And our Daily Bread is one that I return to again and again. And this week there was a reading quoting from Frank Baum, who wrote The Wizard of Oz, from one of his other books. And it was, I think, about King Rinkitink. And he said, his heart is kind and gentle, and that is far better than being wise. And that really stopped me. It really, really stopped me. Because I have spent the last couple of years, as you know, if you've been listening regularly, trying to train to do pro-life apologetics, trying to be able to defend the case for life in the public square, and have it be very competitive in the marketplace for ideas, because this matters, right? If people don't think about abortion properly, well, lives are at risk. And so I've been trying to do this educational piece and trying to again, you know, reason with people and enter into argumentation if that's what it takes. But God has really been showing me that a kind and gentle heart is far better than being wise. And, you know, there's Paul's words in we could look to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 when he says, if I have not love, I'm just a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. You know, no one wants to listen to someone who doesn't have a heart for the topic that they're engaging, right? I mean, I get that. But I just really see, especially when we come to opposition in the public square, and whether it would be, you know, remotely through a keyboard on social media or in the comment section of a news article, or whether it would be face-to-face when we're out speaking with people and maybe not even formally speaking, but just engaging with friends and neighbors and, you know, our family and loved ones as we're going home for the holidays, the kindness and the gentleness of our hearts is what wins people. It just is. And God's been really impressing that on me. And my call is to give voice to God's love. It really is to give voice to God's love. And I know that, you know, he's also called me to speak the truth. And once again, as we are celebrating this Advent season and thinking about celebrating the coming birth, or the anniversary of the birth of Jesus Christ, those words from John 1, you know, that he came to the world full of grace and truth. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth. Oh my, what a role model Jesus is, to be filled with grace and truth. And there's that kindness of Christ at the center of his grace. It's really been teaching me personally that love is the only wisdom. Love is the only wisdom. I had a chance to go and speak with a group of students this last week at Bethany Academy in Bloomington, Minnesota, and was really grateful for the opportunity. These students were really keyed in to what we had to say, talking about, you know, the reality that life begins at conception, the reality that every life is valuable by virtue of our human nature, and if that's not true, then there's no such thing as true human equality, even into the discerning what to do in the hard cases of rape and incest. These students were really keyed in and really listening and eager to learn. And if you want to bring me to your school, we have an underwriting grant, so you can do that without a cost to your school. Please get in touch with me on our website at cradlemyheart.org, because I love engaging with high school and college-age students on this issue. And we have a resource tonight for that age group as well, specifically for students. It's called Stand for Life, a student's guide for making the case and saving lives. This is John Enzer and Scott Klusendorf writing about defending pro-life views in 5 minutes or less. Yes, we teach you how to do that. How to understand the sanctity of human life. How to really simplify conversations about abortion, how to develop a Christian response to abortion, how to keep cool under fire. So if you'd like a copy of Stand for Life, a student's guide for making the case and saving lives, our number is 1-800-811-3003, 1-800-811-3003. Would love to give you a copy, and just let me know why you would like to have it. Okay, that's all I want to know. Just love to hear your voice on the air, and join us at 1-800-811-3003. As I think about God's kindness and the incredible kindness shown to me that I should have a radio ministry to talk with you about the truth about abortion, having participated in myself, I mean, that's just amazing that God has brought me to that point. And the thing is that is so important for us to understand about kindness is that, you know, when we love and embrace the life that God has given us, when we love and embrace the story that God is writing in our lives, when we love and embrace the lessons that God provides, when we love and embrace even the failures that he has ordained for us, and the success that God has arranged for us, the good that God has granted, the bad that he has allowed in his sovereign will. We see that he is the author and the finisher, and that our lives, our very lives, are in his hands. 1-800-811-3003. And it's an amazing thing, isn't it, to think about that? And I know that the season of Advent can be such a mixture of emotions, such a roller coaster. I know that's a cliche, but it really does feel that way sometimes. You know, you see, you're getting out the box of decorations and you see something that reminds you of a loved one who's passed away, and suddenly you're in tears when you were happy and singing carols just moments before. It can be really intense. But to put it all into God's hands and to realize that we are there, and as he's cradling our hearts in his hands, it's just an amazing thing. And I think that his kindness toward us is what makes it possible, of course, for us to be able to be kind. You know, the word says in Galatians 5 that it's the fruit of the Spirit, and that it's a natural result. It grows in us naturally as we invite the Holy Spirit in, and as we keep our hearts open to God by being honest with him about what needs to be repented, about being honest with him about the ways that we fall short. And as we do that, the fruit of the Spirit growing in us is so lovely in how it multiplies faith and in how it multiplies truth and grace all around us. Oh, my goodness. Someone I love very dearly put up a post on Facebook. She's pregnant and she's getting bigger, and people keep expecting her to move out of the way and just almost trampling her. And haven't we had that experience, whether it's the crowded mall or an airport or somewhere where it seems like courtesy is just gone? But how lovely in the midst of a moment like that to bring it yourself, and to stand against the madding crowd. 1-800-811-3003. That's my wish and my prayer for us this Christmas season. Let's go to the phones and say hi to Madison, listening in Duluth. Hi, Madison. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you for the topic that you're sharing tonight. I think just the topic of kindness is so necessary in our culture today, because I've done a few Bible studies before talking about the differences between kindness and niceness, and like someone being nice, you can easily disguise that or fake it, whereas kindness is very hard to fake, and especially in today's culture, I think people notice who's kind and who's being nice, but because people are so far from God and his word, they don't have the vocabulary to distinguish someone, you know, as being nice or kind. But it definitely shows. And I think that's one of the best ways that we can show the love of God is by being kind, because it's so rare, like you mentioned, like with the courtesy and things like that. So it's important that we keep doing that as Christians.
That's beautiful. And I think you're right. There's always an aspect of sacrifice in kindness, I think. Right? Because even if,
yeah,
let's say that we're in a really heated discussion with somebody and we know they're wrong, you know, maybe they're saying, oh, no one knows when life begins, you know, maybe they're making a claim that we just know is wrong. But you can see that,
yeah,
boy, if I press this point, I'm going to lose them. They're going to feel crushed by me, you know, and that's not my goal. I'm not trying to, you know, blow up things here. I'm trying to win hearts and minds. And, you know, so we might even have to sacrifice. I was saying ever we would sacrifice truth, but we may have to sacrifice,
yeah,
winning a point in the discussion, right? I mean, just to,
yeah,
be gracious.
That's right? An awesome point. Yeah, that's an awesome point, because, like, I'm 25, and I feel like with my age group, it is becoming so difficult to share the truth about pro-life issues, because everyone states, like, oh, well, everything's relative. Like, how can you say that that's an absolute truth, that all life is valid, especially in cases of rape? But I know that can open up a can of worms on the air, so I don't want to do that to you. But I mean, we both know that there's, you know, varying viewpoints on it. But with Jesus, there's, I don't know. I mean, he definitely has something to say about that. And, but you're right, still approaching it with kindness can be so challenging. And I love that you said it demands sacrifice, because that really resonates with what my pastor preached today. So I appreciate you saying that. So thank you.
Awesome, Madison. Thank you for listening, and stay on the line so we can get your address. We'll send you a copy of Stand for Life, Student's Guide for Making the Case and Saving Lives, written by John Enzer and Scott Klusendorf. Thanks, Madison, for your call. It's time for a break, and then we'll be back, and we have also copies of Why Pro-Life, which is a very handy volume to get you up to speed even on the rape question. And in fact, we'll share some of that coming up, and if you'd like to win a copy, join us at 1-800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Katola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Katola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Thank you for being with us, and we have a resource for you called Why Pro-Life, Randy Alcorn's book about caring for the unborn and their mothers. And it's a book you can read in an hour or two and retain, because it's very simple to grasp the true principles that he sets forward to defend life. And he also, I love the fact that it's caring for the unborn and their mothers. And he has a chapter about what about pregnancy due to rape or incest. Is abortion right in those cases? And he opens by talking about how very rare it is. He says pregnancies due to rape are rarer, fewer than 1 in 1,000 cases. And he says the misconception that many pregnancies are due to rape comes from various sources, but it all started with Norma McCorvey, the young woman called Roe in the Roe v. Wade case. She got sympathy in the court and media because she claimed to be a rape victim, years later admitted that she lied and hadn't been raped. She's now, by the way, a very outspoken pro-life advocate and has asked the Supreme Court to review and reverse Roe v. Wade. That happened, I think, in 2005, 2006. She was not successful with that, but I give her a lot of credit for going before them. If you'd like a copy of Randy Alcorn's Why Pro-Life, join us and tell us why you'd like it. 1-800-811-3003. Tell us what are you doing to defend the case for life? What are you doing to educate yourself? Why are you interested in the topic? Why would you want a copy of this book? And we'd be happy to send you one. So he says, first of all, you have the underpinnings that the law was based on someone claiming they were raped when they really weren't. And it's fear-mongering is his point there. He says pro-choice, this is Randy Alcorn speaking from Why Pro-Life, he says pro-choice advocates divert attention from the vast majority of abortions by focusing on rape because of the sympathy factor. Their frequent references to it leave the false impression pregnancy due to rape is common rather than rare, extremely rare. Again, less than 1% of cases. New York Times agrees about that. That's not a pro-life talking point, by the way. Randy Alcorn says, we have a dear friend who was raped and became pregnant, and because of her circumstances, it wasn't best for her to raise the child. She released the child for adoption into a Christian family, and our friend periodically has contact with the family and her child, and it hasn't been easy. Her pain has been great, yet her overwhelming comfort is knowing the child lives and is loved. On a TV program about abortion, I heard a man say of a child conceived in rape, anything of this nature has no rights. Because it's a product of rape. He said, how is the nature of this child different from that of any other child? Are some children more worthy to live because their fathers were better people? And why is it, Randy Alcorn asks, that pro-choice advocates are always saying unborn child is really the mother's, not the father's, until she's raped, and then suddenly the child is viewed as the father's, not the mother's? That is a great point when you stop and think about it. Randy Alcorn goes on, the point is not how a child was conceived, but that he was conceived. He's not a despicable product of rape, that is, he's a unique and wonderful creation of God. Having and holding an innocent child can do much for a victimized woman, much more good than the knowledge that an innocent child died in a fruitless attempt to reduce her trauma, because you see, that doesn't work. Feminists for Life says some women have reported suffering from the trauma of abortion long after the rape trauma had faded. It's hard to imagine a worse therapy for a woman who's been raped than the guilt and turmoil of having her child killed. Because what happens in the hearts of women, as Randy Alcorn goes on to explain, is that women see that while they had violence done to them, they turned around and did violence to a defenseless, innocent child. He says there's a parallel between the violence of rape and abortion. Both are done by a more powerful person at the expense of the less powerful. Abortion doesn't bring healing to a rape victim. Imposing capital punishment on the innocent child of a sex offender does nothing bad to the rapist and nothing good to the woman. Creating a second victim never undoes the damage to the first. And the only thing I would add to Randy Alcorn's words, if you'd like a copy of Why Pro-Life, just join us. Tell us why. 1-800-811-3003. The only thing I would add is that, you know, if anybody has been victimized by the crime of rape or incest, we have to, first of all, do everything within our power to see that they get justice. We have to prosecute these cases to the full extent of the law, because these are crimes. This is not something that is, you know, a dynamic that a woman should have to deal with. That's a crime, and there's a reason that it's a crime. It's violence. And so we have to, first of all, see that she gets justice, and then, of course, we have to give her every bit of compassion and understanding and sensitivity and support that she needs and deserves. Because being a victim of rape is something no one should ever have to experience. But when we come to finding out what will be the solution if a pregnancy has resulted from that rape, we have to consider the fact that there are now two people involved. There is now a second life involved. And if, as you know, Randy outlined in the story that he reported, if she is unable to parent a child because of her life circumstances, then releasing for adoption is an option, as Melissa Oden says, that everybody can live with. Adoption is an option that everybody can live with. The circumstances of our conception do not change the fact that from conception forward, you are a distinct, living, and whole human being. And you, by nature, by virtue, that is, of your human nature, have equal value to all human beings. And people will object and say that, well, the child is a constant reminder of the trauma of the rape. And here's where you can trot out a toddler, one of Scott Klusendorf and Greg Kokel's tactics, and say, well, you know, a two-year-old might remind us of a painful divorce. I'm sure you would not suggest taking the life of that two-year-old. And since we know that the unborn is a distinct, living, and whole human being, we shouldn't consider taking their lives because they might be a reminder of something painful. And I really like how Scott Klusendorf handled this in The Case for Life, and when he teaches this material as well. He says that very seldom has he encountered anyone who was quite sincere if they were really pressing that abortion must be made legal for the case of rape. Because he says this is what you can do, and if you get in a conversation and seem to be at a gridlock and the conversation is bogging down, ask the person, would you be willing to eliminate abortion for all other causes other than rape if it were allowed only for rape? And he said he's never had a person answer positively to that question. So what does that mean? It means that often people are, I won't say hiding behind the hard cases, but they're arguing from the hard cases rather than from the principle. And it comes back to what Randy Alcorn said about the sympathy factor, because, of course, we have sympathy, empathy, sensitivity for rape victims. But that doesn't mean that we can operate without sympathy, empathy, understanding, and protection for unborn life as well. Thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast tonight. I hope you'll be able to join us next week. Teresa Bonapartis is going to return to the program. She has a post-abortion healing ministry in New York, and she's written about how speaking out about abortion causes a huge backlash, and people are extremely upset if we say that abortion harmed us and that we found healing through faith or by any other means. There's a lot of backlash to be dealt with. And so we'll talk with Teresa about that, and we'll also get some ideas from her about how to deal with difficult emotions around the holidays. Sometimes if you've had an abortion, the holidays can bring back memories. The holidays can also create a longing in our hearts for our loved ones who are not here. But the holidays can also be the advent of the coming of Christ into our hearts. And I think it's a very encouraging and very hope-filled message that Teresa's going to bring to us. So please do plan now to be here next Sunday night, and we'll be here as well. Program notes on this and every other program that we've presented, as well as the resources that we've mentioned, are all linked for you at cradlemyheart.org. And you can get in touch with us that way, too, with a confidential email. We will always keep your information private. Please do let us hear from you. It's a joy to be with you. And remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. Your support makes this podcast stream possible. Information is available at myfaithradio.com.